Start. Good morning, everyone. So our message today is part three of self-justification. Self-justification, part three. Let's see what I've written here. It says, self-justification is a form of self-righteousness. It's an inward belief that somehow, because of what we do for God and others, we are owed greater favor and honor. It's the mental attitude that begins to believe we are righteous because of what we do, not what Jesus did. Self-justification is always concerned with what others think. However, all acts of good deeds a believer performs are part of who we are. Good deeds don't justify us as better than other believers because of the wonderful things that we do. So we need to realize that sometimes, and probably most all of us at some point have been at this place. When we first get saved, we're so excited and we know that we received it because we believed, right? But then as we start our walk with the Lord, we often get involved with doing a lot of works, and then we try to earn our way somehow in our salvation. And so we get to a place where we begin to self-justify ourselves. Well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And what ends up happening is we, by justifying all the things we do, we end up judging other people. So we want to be really careful that we don't get like that. Sometimes we just have to do, like I like to say, a checkup from the neck up. Just do that checkup from the neck up. We got to think, realize what we're thinking, maybe change our attitudes, sometimes towards others. So let's see here. This has always been the base scripture that we're using in this little series. Galatians 6:7. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. And I like the next verse. The New Living Translation it says it very nicely too. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So that's a good way to think of it. We'll always harvest what we plant. In other words, you know, us human beings have a tendency that we want to blame somebody when things aren't going good in our life, don't we? Well, and sometimes it does appear that it's other people's fault. But that's not what Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us that we will always harvest what we plant. And you say, well, but this person did this or that to me. But you associated with this or that person, didn't you? They may have been part of your life. So we need to understand, we have to look inwardly as believers. We should always be looking inwardly, not outwardly at what others are doing, but inwardly at what we're doing. Because wherever we're at in our lives, guess who got us there? We did. We've all gotten ourselves exactly where we're at in our lives. So we need to be careful and remember that. When things aren't going right in your life, maybe all of a sudden you've got just an influx of bad circumstances or situations all of a sudden that start happening. You know what you do in those instances? You look inside. You say, Lord, where am I missing it? Why is this being allowed in my life? Sometimes we have to take authority over the enemy and bind him from our lives. But that's another message. Now let's look here at Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. How many of you know, a lot of times we get so busy, we want to run our own lives, don't we? And what we're doing seems right to us. But often, as we get busy in our own lives doing this and doing that, you know what? The end of that is death. Why does it say that it's death? You know, we need to remember that we're supposed to imitate Christ. We're supposed to be like Jesus. Remember, Jesus only did what? What the Father said. We need to learn in our own lives to only do what the Lord tells us. You say, well, Heidi, that's hard. No, it's not that hard, really. You get up in the morning and you dedicate your day to the Lord and you say, Lord, I thank you for this day. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. What do you want me to do today? Lord, I give you the day. And then we just go about our day out by faith. But we've made that recognition first and foremost that this day belongs to the Lord. What do we like to say in here? I don't think we said it this morning, but this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's always our will. So you got to turn your will over to God. You got to start your day with Him. Now look, let's look here at Luke 10. We're going to look at verses 38 through 42. Now, before we read this, I just want to say that this is actually a perfect example of self-justification that we're going to look at. This is a perfect example of self-justification. Self-justification is something that must be realized by every believer. We need to watch ourselves. We need to realize. So let's look at this little story here. It says here, starting in verse 38, it says, now as they were traveling along, he, meaning Jesus, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him, she came up to Jesus, and she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all of the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. Verse 41, but the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, this is a really good little story that I think all of us can probably relate to, especially women. We can relate to this. Notice here that Martha welcomes the Lord into her home, right? Well, I know if I had the Lord coming into my home, I'd want things to be nice too, wouldn't you? So she starts in and preparing, and notice what it says here. Mary, first of all, in verse 39, she sat right down at the Lord's feet. She wanted to hear what the Lord had to say, so she just plopped herself down right by Jesus. I think I would have plopped myself down by Jesus too. She wanted to hear what he had to say. But notice Martha in verse 40 was distracted with all of what? Her preparations. Yes, preparations, but her preparations. Her plans. Well, I need to do this. I need to get this together for the Lord. And we've got to put a good meal together for him. And, you know, we better be doing this. Better get that sister of mine going. We need to get to work here. So she had all of her preparations, you see, her plans, her preparations. It appeared to be right, didn't it? Think about the scripture we read in Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end is a way of death. Martha was busying herself. Oh, she's getting this ready and that ready and busying herself so much that she failed to realize that she's there to listen to the Lord. And notice what she did. She went up to the Lord, and she's so focused on all of her preparation. Now, let's think about this. This is what was important to her, the meal that they were going to put before them. Here you've got the Lord in your house, and you're thinking about the meal, right? But what does she say to the Lord? In verse 40, she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? What's she doing? She's judging Mary. She's judging Mary. She's justifying herself. I'm doing all the work. Don't you care, Lord, that I'm, you know, just doing all this work, laboring so hard, and my sister's sitting there doing nothing? She's judging Mary. This is often how a self-justified person speaks in their prayers to the Lord. Now, I want you to think about this. How many times have you prayed for God to fix somebody else? What they're doing wrong? Why aren't they acting right? See, we do have a tendency to do that, often because we are judging them by ourselves and everything we're doing. We're going to church. We're serving the Lord, but they won't go to church. So this is what Mary's doing in essence. Martha's doing. She's going up to the Lord and she's saying, Lord, my sister's doing nothing. Don't you care that she's leaving all this work for little old me? The righteous one? But notice what the Lord said in verse 42. He says, only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be what? Taken away from her. Now, I'm going to say something here. I'm going to interject something. This, what would be taken away from her? What Martha was doing. All of this preparation that Martha's doing, we call that works. Good works. How many of you know that a lot of times our good works, all the things we choose to do, will be taken away at the end? None of it will have mattered. When what we could have done is used our time wiser by getting in the Word of God, spending that time with the Lord. If we would start our days spending the time with the Lord, we wouldn't be so frazzled. What am I going to do? We've got a million things to do. We wouldn't be so frazzled if we sat down, said, Lord, I give you this day. What would you like me to do? And plan your day with the Lord, and then your day will flow. It will flow. So all of these works that we do, what we think are good works, will be taken away from us. But you know what won't be taken away from us? And that's what Jesus said. Only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away. How many of you know when we get in the Word of God and we spend time with the Lord, That's eternity that we gain. We are gaining more. We are gaining something for our eternal life. We are gaining something that will never be taken from us. But often we waste our time being self-justifying what we're doing. And all that self-justification of all the things we do, a lot of times, is a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Let's look here at Matthew 6, verse 33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, there's a couple of things that this is such an important scripture, but we don't meditate on this scripture, but I would encourage you to meditate on it. Because what he says is, if you seek first the kingdom of God and whose righteousness? His righteousness, not ours. We're not going to gain our righteousness with all these busy things that we do. But if we seek the kingdom of God in his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. And this was in reference to food, shelter, and clothing. All of your needs will be met. Your health will flourish. You'll have food on your table and clothes on your back if you put the Lord first and seek his righteousness, not your own. We cannot gain our own righteousness. Remember, salvation was a free gift. We didn't earn it. We got it for free. So we're to seek the kingdom first, and that only entails Jesus' righteousness, not our own. Not our own. Let's look here at Galatians 5, and we're going to look at scriptures 1 through 6. Paul is speaking here, and he says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Now I want to stop there. We have been set free. We're free. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law." Now, I want to stop here because what they were talking about, remember, Jesus came and he preached to who? The Jews, the nation of Israel. That's who he preached to. What religion did they know of? Judaism, right? So now I want you to think about this. Jesus came, he preached to the Jews. They had been following Judaism. And Judaism has what? All kinds of laws, doesn't it? Rules and regulations and laws and all these things. So after Jesus came and died for their sins, they had a time where they had to try to learn how to separate the law from righteousness, which came by faith. So they were deciding whether they needed to be circumcised. Now, we know that most of our babies, right, are circumcised in our nation, right, and often around the world. And that is a medical thing that is done because it is supposed to be cleaner and better to do. But what Paul is telling them there has nothing to do with that. It has to do with them, really, whether they were going to continue to follow the law or not. And they wanted to be circumcised. And Paul said to them, in verse 2, "Mark my words, I tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all." Now notice this, then he says again, he repeats himself, "I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law." Now, verse 4, "You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ, you have fallen away from grace." Verse 5, "For through the Spirit we eagerly await, by faith, the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love." Faith that expresses itself through love. It's not about the good works we do, folks. It's not about trying to obey the law, because remember, Scripture tells us that if you try to obey the law and yet you miss it in one thing, you're guilty of all of it. If you miss it in one point, you're guilty of all the law. Do you know why the Scripture tells us that? Because the Lord does not want us to think in terms of our own good works, that we have to earn it, that we need to do. Because when we start thinking we have to earn things from God, then we'll never do enough. We'll never get there, because how many of you know we've all missed it? You're not going to be able to obey all of the law. If you were able to obey all of the law, if I was able to obey all of the law, then we would not have needed Jesus to come for us. So let's get ourselves in perspective. Let's get our thinking right. Let's humble ourselves. Because he's telling us here, if you're going to try to obey the law, you're going to fall, and you are guilty of it. Because it says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love, folks. Faith expresses itself through love. And love does not judge how much we're doing against what everybody else is doing. That's self-justification. Verse 4 I want to look at again. It says, "You were trying to be justified by the law." You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ, you have fallen away from grace. Now, how do we try to be justified by the law? A lot of times we think by all the things we do, right? Like Martha, we're being justified. You see, Martha doing good things, they seemed like they were the right things to do, right? She was busy about the things of God. Often, the times that we think we're so busy about the things of God, we realize inside, if we look inside, we realize that what we're really doing is justifying ourselves. But when we do that, we've fallen from the grace. Grace is unmerited favor. You don't earn from God. It's a free gift from God. So we need to think in terms of that. And remember that us as believers, we do good things because it's ingrained in us now, because we want to. It's in our heart to do it. We don't do it because we feel like we have to. There's a difference. There's a difference. Let's look here at Galatians 3, 1 through 3, and we have used this scripture as our base through the last two weeks of the series. It says, O foolish Galatians, Paul speaking here, who has bewitched you? Before your eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? After starting in the Spirit, are you now finishing in the flesh? This is what we're talking about. This is what he's saying here. You got saved by believing in faith. But then all of a sudden, you changed. Now you're looking at all the things you're doing. And now you think that's determining your salvation and your value, you see? And this is what he's telling us here. Who has bewitched you? Now, this word bewitched, we have the definition, and Mark had used it also last week to mean that to be put on a spell on them. Put under a spell that makes a person appeal to their own vanity is what he had said. Put under a spell that makes a person appeal to their own vanity. It'd be like saying, I'm doing all of this. Now look at the Greek word down here at the bottom, bewitched, biskaneo. It says to be fascinated by false representation. To show or make known one's asserted actions. So what Paul is saying here, who has made you think that all the wonderful things you're doing are now going to save you? That's when you're bewitched. You are fooling yourself. You're almost under a spell because now you're believing that all these wonderful things that I'm doing are what's gaining my salvation, when in fact your salvation was free. And when we start to get that way, what does he say here? He says in verse 2, he says, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? And then in verse 3, he says, are you so foolish? After starting in the Spirit, are you now finishing in the flesh? You started by believing in your heart, but now you're finishing by all the wonderful works you're doing, you see? We have to be very careful of that. We have to be very careful of that. Because none of us have earned our salvation. None of us deserved our salvation. But we got it from the Lord, didn't we? As a free gift. Because remember, Jesus is our righteousness. He's our righteousness. And if you can leave today with one thing, it would be that. To remember, Jesus is your righteousness. And I remember this when I'm an intercessor. So every day I start my intercession. And I always thank the Lord, Yahweh, Sid Canoe, because the Lord is our righteousness. He's our righteousness. Nothing I've done and everything he's done. And this is the attitude of a true believer. Change your attitude if you have to. Change the way you think. Because when you do that, you will become a much stronger believer in your faith, and you will, God will draw all men to you, because they'll see your humility. They'll see that love in you, and you'll get that freedom. And that's the freedom that we get. We become free when we realize it's nothing to do with me and everything to do with Him. There's a freeing nature about that. It's a freedom that we have. So we don't want to be bewitched, do we? We don't want to be bewitched, in other words, where we would think that we rely on the law. Who has bewitched you to think that you rely now on the law, your own good works, over God? No, our own good works are never over God. The good things we do is because of God. Let's look here at Matthew 19. We're going to look at 16 through 26. Now, this man, he approaches Jesus, and he is most certainly fascinated by his wonderful and good life that he has led. So I'm setting you up for this. This is a really good example of self-justification. It says here, "Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?'" Now I want to stop right there. Right off the bat, this guy thinks that somehow his own goodness can save him. Look, why do we know that? Because of what he asked. He says, "What good thing must I do to get eternal life?" See? So we already know what's on his mind. And notice what Jesus said to him in verse 17. He says, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." The man says in verse 18, "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." Now, I want to stop here, because right here, Jesus laid a very important group of commands before this man. But remember, if you don't keep the entire law, you're guilty of all of it. You're guilty of all of it. Now, I want you to think about this. This man is living under the law. He's thinking like the law. He's determining to be like the law, because he's asking the Lord what good thing he has to do. Verse 21, Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect," he says to him, "if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away, sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, and they asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Now, I want to say something here. Jesus knew that this man was a good man, quote unquote. But this man was not willing to do everything in the law. He wasn't willing to sell everything he had, was he? Yet he had done a lot of good things. See, Jesus was just showing him, basically, that he really didn't have what it takes to enter into salvation. He wasn't good enough. How many of you know that none of us are good enough? And this is what Jesus is pointing out here. Jesus laid a very important group of commands, but remember, if you don't keep the entire law, you're guilty of all of it. So if you're going to try to justify yourself by your actions, you never will. You never will. See, that's why religion can't save man. Remember, Jesus came. He first preached to the Jews. The Jews were following Judaism. They weren't following all the laws. You know what happened? They became religious. The Pharisees and the Sadducees became judgmental. They were the ones who went in the streets and they would wear the phylacteries and tell everyone how they loved the praise of men. Yet they weren't obeying the law. Why? Because they had turned into self-justifiers. They were always justifying themselves and their actions. And as a result of doing that, they were snubbing their noses at everyone else. That's what happens. That's what happens. So we need to understand that if you are going to try to perform good actions and follow the law and do all those things on your own, you never will. If you're going to follow the Lord and you're going to go to Him and humble yourself and take your shortcomings before Him and ask Him to help you every day and ask Him, what do you want me to do today, Lord? And seeking Him and His kingdom every day and following Him and staying humble and judging yourself, then you will continually change inside. Just like the Word of God says, you will be washing yourself with the water of the Word. Washing yourself and cleansing yourself through the water of the Word. And you will get that inward change. And it will be an outward expression. And good things will happen in your life. Ecclesiastes 7:20. It says, "For there is not one truly righteous person on the earth who continually does good and never sins." How many of you know, folks, this should put this in perspective for all of us. There is not one truly righteous person on the earth who continually does good and never sins. There was only one who came. And who was that? Jesus. And guess what? He is our righteousness. He's your righteousness. You're not your own righteous person. He's your righteousness. Galatians 2, 20 and 21. Paul is speaking here. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, Christ died for nothing." Folks, this is the attitude that we must have. We could put our own names in here. Replace your name for what Paul's saying. Paul says, "We've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. Heidi, I have been crucified with Christ. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And then he says, "I do not set aside the grace of God." Don't set aside the grace of God. Don't justify yourself. There's no need to justify ourselves, folks. Place it before God's altar. Don't frustrate the grace of God. For if your righteousness comes through the law, if your righteousness comes through acting like Martha and doing everything and thinking you're doing all these things and everybody else isn't, then you know what you've done? You have made the cross of no effect. No effect for your life. So this is the attitude we must have. I live by the faith of the Son of God. He loved me. He gave himself for me. For my sins, my shortcomings. Righteousness only comes through Jesus. And it's not going to change in this lifetime. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sure thank you for your word. Lord, your word is so rich. It's so true. Father, I ask that all those that hear the sound of my voice will begin to look inside every day, will begin to look inwardly and see where we've missed it, that we will learn to judge ourselves so that we won't be judged, Lord, that we'll learn to be grateful for the fact that you are our righteousness. We are not our own righteousness. Father, help us to catch ourselves every day when we start to see ourselves as doing well and looking at others as not. And so, Lord, we thank you for this message and for your help to change. In Jesus' name, amen.